to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John Breach joining us right now. Talks of NFL football with the writer for CBS Sports. John, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. It's always good to talk to another John or Dime
Breach. That's right. Fantastic. But you also got Adele.
Well,
so that's
John,
I'll
tell you, this John ain't that great. So we'll try to get you to this interview.
You've written a couple stories about Colin Kaepernick. Does he get back in the league?
You know what? I feel like he does. It seems like the big impediment was just him getting in there, having a team invite him in for a workout. It was just like no one wanted to be the first one. And I do think that the Raiders might have just opened the floodgates here. Because you look at what happened this entire offseason. He's been kind of on this national workout tour. We saw him working out with Tyler Lockett back in March. And Tyler Lockett's out there saying, hey, look, this guy has a rocket arm. He looks fantastic. He worked out with a few NFL quarterbacks. One of them was Justin Fields. Justin Fields is saying, yeah, this guy could definitely play in the NFL. And now here we are. He's finally getting that NFL workout. And by all accounts, it went well. So I think that we'll see if the Raiders don't do something, and who knows, because they have a pretty full quarterback room right now. But it wouldn't be surprising if he gets another workout now. And the fact that he's willing to be a backup quarterback and has gone on record saying that hey, if that's what I have to do this year to get back in the league, I think that gives him a much better chance. So if you would ask me this, you know, last week, it would have been 0.01%. Now I feel like it's about 75% that he plays this year.
75%. And the Raiders are showing interest. You said, you're saying there are other teams that are looking at him.
Right, absolutely. But I think the Raiders are obviously the front runner because, you know, the number one thing is you have to have an owner that is on board with this. And, you know, we've seen a lot of owners ask about Kaepernick over the past few years, and they either duck the question or they don't want to divide their fan base. Well, Mark Davis doesn't care about it. Mark Davis is going to do whatever Mark Davis wants, and he has been pretty vocal that Colin Kaepernick deserves another chance in the league. So I would say the Raiders, obviously, the front runner, they are the ones willing to bring him in. But if it's not them, I do think at least a few other teams, I think we would see him get a workout with one or two more teams before the season starts.
John Breach with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John, I've been saying, and maybe you could think I'm crazy, I think the Raiders win the AFC West this year.
I think you're crazy.
Okay.
You know what? It is, though. I think the Raiders are being kind of slept on, though. I will absolutely say that because, look, this is a team that went to the playoffs last season, and no one thought they were going to do that. Everyone had them pegged for last place in 2021, and then boom, there they were as the wild card team. So there's no reason they can't get back to the playoffs. If you had just said, hey, can this team make the playoffs? I'm completely on board with that. They won 10 games. They added Devontae Adams. The roster's much better, but obviously every other team in that division is, I mean, it feels like the only team that didn't improve a lot is the Chiefs. They're arguably the only team that got worse. But when you add Russell Wilson to the Broncos, it feels like they're double-digit wins. The Chargers had so many close losses last year and still won 9 games. It feels like they're double-digit wins. And I know mathematically that every single one of those AFC West teams can make the playoffs, but obviously someone's going to have to be the odd man out. And I do agree that the Raiders are kind of a dark horse. I could see them as absolutely the wild card team.
John, you wrote what would be, you know, a very normal football story. Deshaun Watson wanted his number, so he gave the teammate with the number a gift. How many weeks into the season do you think there will actually be a normal football story about Deshaun? In other words, if you had to guess, with Roger Goodell coming out and saying they're near the end of the investigation, we have the Real Sports thing where Brian Gumbel and the accusers were on, giving their side of the story. Are we talking 8 weeks, 10 weeks before Deshaun Watson plays a football game? If you had to guess, without much precedent, what do you think happens?
Yeah, this is like the hardest thing to get a sense of. I think this is the question everyone's been trying to peg down, is how long is Deshaun Watson going to be suspended? I just think that Roger Goodell and the NFL does not want to deal with the blowback that might come. If this suspension is 4 games or less, I think there would be an absolute uproar. The NFL will kind of have a black eye there. We all saw what happened with Trevor Bauer in Major League Baseball. Not that that's the exact same situation, but it's the same in the sense that he wasn't criminally charged with anything, but MLB still dropped the hammer. And we've also seen Roger Goodell do that with Ezekiel Elliott, Ben Roethlisberger back in 2010, where they weren't criminally charged, but they were given a suspension. So I do think that it's just, when you have 22 different women saying the same thing, that, you know, if you believe five of them, that's still five. So it's, the number's just so incredibly high. I will be stunned if the suspension's not at least 8 games.
See, we're talking with John Breach, who writes for CBS Sports NFL. You have ranked the defenses heading into this season. You got the Bills first, and yet the last thing we saw from the Bills defense was them not being able to stop the Chiefs in 10 seconds. Listen, everybody's got the Bills at the top of the, how much pressure is on the Bills this year, offensively and defensively, for this football team?
I think we might have lost them.
We lost him?
I mean, it says he's still on, but obviously we can't hear him, so maybe there's an issue. We'll see. We'll see if we can get John back for the back half of the interview. See, I told you, getting two Johns together, what a terrible combination. You're here.
It has nothing to do with the name John.
Well,
John's phone is apparently he's using, maybe not, he doesn't have an Apple.
You think he's on an Android and that's the issue?
Poor.
He's one maybe of the pools.
He's one of the poor. You're poor. He's got the Bills, the Rams, the Saints, Ravens. He's got the Cowboys as the fifth defense. Where's the Texans in this list?
Does he get past five? Maybe they're six.
No, the Broncos, Colts, Patriots, Steelers, and Buccaneers.
Looks like
this list has no credibility without the
Texans. Well, you can ask him about it because he's back. You can ask him why the Texans aren't on the list.
All right. Why are the Texans not on your best defenses list, John?
Well, the Texans aren't bad. It's just that you look at who are going. Okay.
You know,
I like to defend the home team. I was going to say they're not the worst, the absolute worst.
Well, they're right there. They're right there, John. What about the Bills being number one?
The Bills defense is just loaded. I mean, you just look at what they have. We saw what they did last year. They had the best defense in the NFL in 2020. Whether you want to look at it by points surrendered, by yards given up, I mean, on paper, it felt like they had the best defense last season. And then they go and add someone like Von Miller. And then let's not forget they're getting Tre'Davious White back. He missed the last back half of the season and the playoffs to a torn ACL. So they're going to have two better players on their defense going into 2022. That defense went from great to whatever is above great. So it feels like they should be the best defense in the NFL for the second straight year.
John, do you have an opinion about a team that's completely opposite of most of the people you talk to who do the same thing? Like, is there a team out there you're like, I don't think they're going to be that good, or a team that you see as being clearly overvalued, I guess, outside of the Las Vegas Raiders?
I would say the team that I kind of want to say the Browns, but I feel like that's not a fair answer because we don't know what Deshaun Watson suspension is going to be. The Arizona Cardinals, to me, I feel like are being really overvalued this year. I know that everyone is on board. We saw what they did last season. They went 11-6, but they fade down the stretch every year, and we've seen what they can't do when DeAndre Hopkins is out. I mean, last season, the offense completely fell apart when DeAndre got injured. Now he's going to miss the first six games of the season, and that just feels like a team that is the third best in the NFC West at best. And if you're third best, you know, there's no guarantee you're getting the playoffs. So I know the Cardinals get a lot of preseason hype. Hey, they're going to be the in-season hard knocks team. But if I had to pick a team from the playoffs in the NFC last year, it's not going to be there this year. The Cardinals would probably be at the top of that list.
You got the Steelers up there as top 10 defense. They were last in the league against the rush. Why are they going to be so much better this year against the rush?
Look, the Steelers been dealing with a lot of things. I think one of the problems for Pittsburgh was that they didn't get a lot of help from their offense. So the offense went three and out a lot. The defense had a lot on its plate, and that's something that is tough for a defense to deal with. But, hey, look, we'll see. It is You look at their schedule, you look how things break down, and they're in a tough division as far as running backs go. You have Joe Mixon, you have Nick Chubb, but it feels like the Steelers' defense should probably improve. It's just one of those things where I don't think they can do worse than they did last season. A lot of people talk about regression, where I think this is the opposite of that. I think they have to get better.
You see Kenny Pickett starting there?
What's that?
Do you see Kenny Pickett starting there?
You know, Kenny Pickett is interesting. I think the fact they gave Mitchell Trubisky a 2-year deal, I think that Mitchell Trubisky goes into week one as a starter, and if he flops or if they struggle through the first month of the season, then boom, you give the job to Kenny Pickett. So I do think there's a very good chance he ends up starting there at some point during the 2022 season. But if I had to bet on it right now, I would think that Trubisky's the week one starter.
You've got Sky Moore as your top rookie candidate for rookie of the year. Does he take Hill's place as far as that speedster that can break open games?
That is a great question. I'm not sure that anyone can take Tyreek Hill's place. That's just, he's one of the fastest guys in the league. He had that chemistry with Patrick Mahomes, which is going to be tough for Sky Moore to build up in year one. But you look at all the other weapons, whether it's Travis Kelce, whether it's Juju Smith-Schuster, or Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So you're going to have, I think Sky Moore's going to have an opportunity where he's a guy who's going to be teams aren't going to be paying very much attention to him. And I feel like that somebody has to make up the ground that Hill's leaving with. So that yardage has to go somewhere. I think he's a good candidate, and it feels like he should put up big numbers if you look at all the receivers who were taken in the first two rounds this year.
But he's a cornerback. He's wearing number 24. He's a corner. So that's going to be weird. That is going to be weird watching him out wide wearing number 24. But get used to it, everybody. It's John Breach, CBS Sports, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Thanks for your insight.
Yep, thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, John Breach right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to talk a little champion, being a champion, okay? Are you a champion caller like John was just a little while ago? I don't know. Are you? Are you a champion in all that you do? Listen, if you're somebody that wants to be a champion in electricity saving money, then you go with Champion Energy. This is a locally owned and operated company. This is the money stand right here. The people are great. The service is second to none. I say that. They always win the J.D. Power & Associates ranking for best in residential service. But I've never used them. I called them one time when I was moving. I said, hey, I'm going to be moving, so I need to move my electricity over there. Yes, sir, there you go. It was that. That's it. I've never had any issues whatsoever with Champion Energy. You will never have any issues, and you'll love the bill. I'm telling you, it's ridiculous how low I'm paying. You will, too. Go to champion.energy/1560. Get in now. champion.energy/1560.
Loaded, ready to rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. I don't know about you, but we saw a regression in Patrick Mahomes last year. I mean, there were some games that you were at the end of the games throwing left-handed or some weird throw that off balance, getting hit and throws it up or whatever. We saw a game at Tennessee where he threw for 206 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. He had a run here, one touchdown, one interception, no touchdowns, one interception, 2-2, 2-2. He had a 5-1, but he had a 3-2 in the loss against the Chargers, and 3-1 in the loss against Baltimore. Although he played well, he threw for 343 yards, but he had some stinkers. He threw some stinkers in there.
Yeah, that Chargers game, I remember specifically a couple of balls just bouncing off guys' hands. I wouldn't directly blame him, but the Chiefs struggled offensively in compared to what they have been early in the year. Now, that stuff kind of turned around. They wound up in the AFC title game. So how much did you really
struggle? But then look at his second half. They were up 21-3 on the Bengals and lost 27-24. He stunk in the second half.
Yeah, you can't – I don't know what speaks to that because of how well they played in the first half. Was it simply the momentum of not scoring before the half and it kind of changed the entire game around? Possibly. Momentum is a real thing. But, yeah, I mean, 37-13 in the regular season, 11 touchdowns and 3 picks in the playoffs. So he wasn't invincible, but he was still, what, the top 2 quarterback. That is kind of where the fall off was for Pat Mahomes. Now he'll be without Tyreek Hill, who he has had throughout his entire career. Tyreek Hill was a great player before Pat Mahomes because of the numbers he put up with Alex Smith. So that will be somebody who he no longer has to depend on. It'll be new. But if Pat Mahomes is what people think he's supposed to be and what he has shown to be, I mean, we know great quarterbacks, you throw in at least moderately talented wide receivers and they'll be just fine. It will be interesting to see what we mentioned Sky Moore with John Breach in the previous segment, and then you have Juju Smith-Schuster, among others, stepping in there. I think Valdes-Scantling is there now too. So he's got some new toys. We'll see how it works out. Maybe the Chiefs become a more off a physical football team on the ground because of, you know, incorporating new players on the outside. But I'm not worried about Pat Mahomes. I think he'll be fine. He just wasn't the invincible Pat Mahomes he had been going into last year.
No, he has not. And we'll find out whether or not, I don't know. I think they are going to regress. I don't think they're going to be as good, but I've been wrong before.
Oh yeah, I know.
No. You've never seen me be wrong.
Heard
I was
it.
Right about I was right about John and his call.
Did were
I
you?
Was, yeah, I was right. I think the people love it. The tweets.
Yeah.
Everyone is squarely behind what John and wants John to call in with another story sometime soon.
Yeah, I mean it's. I hope RJ you record that the next time he calls in, because I'll certainly have missed it. Send it to me. It'll replace Sundays on the back nine for me, helping me fall asleep.
That's so ugly. John is a caller. He's a listener to the show.
Look, I'm glad you give him the space to do that. I'm just saying it wouldn't have flown in other places. That's all.
What if it was Dr. Evil and we'd cut him off?
Well.
Because that was a possibility.
Yeah, it wasn't. There was no payoff for it to be Dr. Evil.
No, if it was Dr. Evil, Jackie said, now, the only possible playoff was if it was Dr. Evil.
He didn't get that, though.
Then it would have been, a huge payoff. Huge payoff. If you'd have started,
John, if you're still listening, just know the slander you're taking is because we appreciate you. Like, if we didn't care, we would just, oh, okay. We wouldn't even talk about it. You're appreciated here, John, and I'm just make sure I'm not here the next time you call.
How about this? There's a tweet out, 5.6 million, the least watched NFL game this season.
Texans-related?
No, it was Raiders versus Browns in Week 15.
Really?
I don't know
why.
Why would that be the least watched?
Where was it? What time? What channel was it on? Why is that the least watched game?
Well, the Browns were probably terrible at the time in Week 15. Nobody cared. I guess nobody cared about this game. You think, well, but Browns home, they're crazy for that team. They would watch anyway, but apparently they gave up on that team last year. The most watched NBA game this season, Nets versus Lakers, Christmas Day, 5.75 million. So the least watched NFL game had more people, according to the ratings, which are way off. But according to the ratings, the least watched NFL game was greater than the most watched NBA game.
Yeah, but don't we know this? Don't we know that's what it is?
I know, it's kind of ugly. It's just piling on.
Yeah, I mean, we know that the NFL rules all. And even games that have little to no attention will beat out NBA games. We know this. Hell, the NBA players know that. Treat their own regular season the same way. What? It's I don't know about this one. I got a calf injury. I'm not going to play. Speaking of that, John, I know you're talking about how you wouldn't be surprised if the Heat won Game 6. Apparently, a report out of Miami, one of the people who covers the team, is saying, now, it is the playoffs, so guys will give it a go, that if it was a regular season game, 5 out of their top 6 wouldn't play tonight. That's how banged up they are.
Yeah.
So now I don't know how banged up you have to be or to not be able to shoot the basketball, which is what the issue was in game five. You think about banged up, they can't move, they can't play defense. They play defense just fine. They couldn't shoot. So maybe that'll affect them again tonight. But if you were thinking about taking the Heat tonight, maybe not, because they probably wouldn't even be playing. They would probably be a G League squad tonight if it wasn't it was an elimination game.
I was listening to Stephen A. and in the pregame show and everything, and he was Jimmy Butler's got to play better. He's got to play better, and he's just terrible. And the other guys were like, "Dude, he's hurt. What are you talking about?" Well, no, he wouldn't play like this if he. The only reason he's playing this badly, is it the only reason? Is now we were all making after game one, Jimmy Butler is the same star as Luka Doncic, as Steph Curry, as Taysom,
Tatum
is, Jason Tatum is he. Is Jimmy Butler in that class or a step below?
I think playoff Jimmy's in that class, at least the last, excluding last year when he was terrible, but you can point to the entire roster was terrible. They were just a broken down roster, COVID, all that type of stuff, whatever. But since he's been in Miami, he was great in the previous playoffs. And up until he missed the second half against Boston in game three, he had been great. So, and we found out that was knee irritation and he hasn't been the same since. So if you see a clear line of delineation from greatness to subpar basketball, I think it's pretty clear that because he was putting up numbers even in game two. In a game they lost, he was the only one who showed up. In a game they got blown out in, I think he still scored nearly 30 points before they pulled him out in the fourth quarter. So I think it's pretty clear playoff Jimmy is one of the better, maybe a top 10 player, and he got hurt in game three, or the knee inflammation started in game three. And he hasn't been the same since. I mean, I think it's pretty clear.
Well, yeah, what would you – because, I mean, you know, talking to Dell, the Miami Heat fan, what did you make of Joel Embiid's tweet the other night?
Yeah, if you missed it, Joel Embiid tweeted out about how Miami needs another star. I mean, that has been one of the things about Miami, people questioning them because there wasn't a clear second star, because Bam can be off and on, and even Jimmy isn't looked at as a guy who's a clear superstar. I mean, their team, I would kind of point in the mold of those late Spurs teams where there's some good players on the team, and any given night someone could do something. But overall, I mean, the Spurs weren't filled. I mean, Kawhi was coming into his own, but hadn't reached that level yet. So
do you think that Joel was kind of giving like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge? Like, hey, you guys need a second star. Hey, come get
James
me.
Harden.
I don't think he
James knows. Harden.
Well, Joel doesn't even think
he's trying to push James Harden on him.
Joel doesn't even think James is a star, considering his comments at the end of the series against Miami. Well, those two, Jimmy and Joel, have a love affair. I mean, Jimmy, as he was giving his final interview for that particular series after winning Game Six, was just talking about how he wished Joel was still on his team. And Joel said in that presser after Game Six, "I don't know why. I still don't know why we got rid of him." He has said that multiple times. So. I mean, I think Joel was like, hey, you know what would be funny if I said something like this and see what happens? I mean, because there's no way it's happening either way. So I think he just thought it would be, let me throw something out there. I mean, and it also is a bit of a barb thrown at the current roster of Miami going, hey, wait a minute. You guys aren't good enough.
Listen, if they were healthy, if Hero was healthy,
yeah,
if
I mean,
Lowry
they're
was healthy,
broken down.
If Bam was healthy, if you know what, this would be a much better. I mean, it's 3-2 as it is.
I think
this would be a much better series if all those guys were healthy.
I think the point is, and Max Strus, who hasn't made it, feels like he hasn't made a shot since his big shot in Game Three. And I think I might be telling the truth there. I think he might have. He didn't make a shot in Game Five. I don't know how many shots he made Game Four. Maybe a couple. He's now hurt too. He would be one of the four starters who wouldn't play because he got banged up in game five. I think Bam is the healthiest of the top five and then you add Heroes to top six. So I think Joel's just, you know, throwing some chum in the water, see what happens, because he's having fun. He's not playing any games. So let me tweet out something to see what happens. Look, they're beat up, and credit to the Celtics. They've played really well defensively. I just think when you look at how the shooting is dovetailed for Miami, you can point direct, and particularly Jimmy Butler's shooting, you can look at, hey, that team is beat up and they're not healthy and they're giving it a go, and we'll see what happens tonight.
All right, let's see what happens. Hey, listen, you can bet on it if you want to bet on it. If you think that, well, I don't know who you want to bet on. I'm just saying, I wouldn't bet on the Heat. But if you want to bet, I know where you can do it. Mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. Bet975. You put in that promo code right now. When you deposit money, you're going to get a deposit bonus. Then whether or not you're just new to MyBookie or you've been a client or you're still a client, you want to just reload, when you put in that promo code BET975, you get a deposit bonus. So make sure that you put it in there. Otherwise, you're not going to get that deposit bonus. So you're looking for a great place to play, win, and get paid. You're looking for a place that's got everything you could possibly bet on. You're looking for everything, not just sports, but everything. What is it that you want to bet on? Entertainment, the Pope, you want to bet on politics, whatever it is, elections, you can bet it all. It's unbelievable. You want to play casino games? You got that too. Everything that you could possibly want at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. It is a great place to play, easy to navigate, wonderful website, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We had an incident last night after the game. I don't understand. See, Warriors fans don't like Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley doesn't like the Warriors.
Charles would say he does like the Warriors. He just hates their fans. You know, earlier, I don't know if it was this week or last week,
he said he had issues with Draymond over the years. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Listen.
He also said he told Warrior fans to shut up or he go to their mom's house and have sex with them. But he used different words.
Right. Which was nice. Last night, a fan throws a T-shirt up on the set, hits Charles in the side of the face, back and side of the face. He gets up with a coffee cup. You can hear it. He gets up with a coffee cup, and I think he wants a piece. Play the audio.
Yo, they throwing stuff up here.
Hey, Chuck.
Charles is standing there with a coffee cup, down, like faking like he's gonna throw it.
Come on, Chuck.
Sit down, Chuck. Sit down, Chuck. Sit down, Chuck.
You don't want to throw that coffee. Although I would
have
won't
be back as a celebration.
I would imagine he wanted to, and you know, Chuck is known to throw a little person through a glass.
Yeah,
so.
I knew that was coming.
He is.
I know it happened like 2 decades ago, I think.
But now, he maybe, you know what, cooler heads prevail. But listen, you can't. I don't know. I just think it's a dangerous situation. You know how drunk those fans are, especially if they don't like Chuck. In San Antonio, I could see a woman. Certainly not happy with Chuck after all the things he says about San Antonio women doing something. The game day crowd, I know at LSU, I don't know about other places, but they put a screen up behind them. I think they do it everywhere now. They put a screen up behind the game day so that people, because at LSU, I think it started at LSU because of all the stuff that LSU fans were throwing up there.
I don't think Miami was immune to that too. I think they chucked some stuff at them too. I think it was back in the late 90s. So it's happened at a couple places, and it makes perfect sense to put a screen up just to avoid the potential of just a lone thrower deciding, hey, you know what, let me see if I can hit Kurt Herbstreit in the back of the head.
Just right.
Put something up to protect the guys.
Right. How about Herbstreit being an NFL guy now?
Yeah, what's his gig? Is he doing Monday nights, Thursday night?
I think he's doing Thursday nights on, who's got it, Apple TV? It's Apple TV, right?
I'll look it up. I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure it's Apple TV, and I think he's doing something, but he's still going to stay with ESPN.
Yeah, that's a good gig.
That's not bad at all.
The thought was that he had to do one or the other, and Kirk's like, no, I'll do both.
I'll do both.
Don't worry.
I'm the Michael Strahan of ESPN.
Yeah.
I can do everything. I can work for three different networks.
I wonder what. Obviously, it's a money thing. I wonder if he actually had, if he had a, like some type of goal to do NFL games, and at some point maybe transition to being the lead analyst on Sundays. But you know, he's synonymous with college football. So if you're a Herb Street person, good that he's still doing the big game of the week. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure they came to him and said, "Hey, you want to do this for a lot of money?" He was like, "Yeah, I'd love to do it for a lot of money.
Yeah,
thanks."
And ESPN said, "Yeah, you can go ahead and do that and do us."
Yeah, he doesn't do anything on Thursday. I mean, did he do Thursday Night Football? I think that he didn't do that anymore. So, I mean, just do it. Go cash another check.
That's all I'm all about. Just cashing checks. That's all. You know what? But he gives a lot more effort than I do, I think.
Oh, we have a question. Yeah, you give very little effort. We have a question from Art. I heard the back half of this. I didn't hear the first part of this. He asked, "Did Frankie get turned up last night with Don Jr. and the slow one, Eric?"
No. Frankie did not get turned up last night.
Where did you take her? Did you take her to a convention or something?
No, what?
What did you?
No, I took her to the Astros game.
That's what I heard. I heard the back half where you were being her chauffeur. I didn't know where she was going.
I took her to the. 5 o'clock, Dad. I need a ride to Astros. Okay, all right. That's
that'll be fun.
At 5 o'clock, and no, Daddy drives. And then, she was like, "Well, I didn't want her to Uber home after the game, so I said I'll come pick you up." And I went and picked her up. That's what a good dad does, Dale. You don't know anything about it because you're not a parent.
Thank God. I gotta drive my daughter, who can't drive, to an Astro game and then pick her up. That's another reason not to be a father.
Okay, so here's the thing. I could have given her my car.
No, that's the stupid idea.
You're right. Considering her history. Which one was the smart idea?
I'd say you hire her a driver. Since you won't let her get an Uber.
It cost me a lot less, except the gas now, it's almost, but with the gas that you will use to drive downtown, mm-hmm. you could almost get a limo to take you.
Can I tell you something? My inactivity when it comes to driving, I haven't had to fill up my tank at $4 a gallon, but I'm going to have to do it this time. That's, I was like, wait a minute. The last time I filled up my tank, it was like $3.96 or something. And I'm like, now the nearest one is $4.19. I'm like, oh,
dude, it's $5.29 here in Chicago.
Well, you live in a bleep hole. I mean, you don't live there. You're visiting
live
a bleep
here.
Hole.
That's why I left.
You live one of those northern bleep hole cities, John.
No, you don't want to talk about. Oh my goodness, $5.29. Oh my goodness. Hey, rest in peace, Ray Liotta.
Yeah. People were saying they're going to watch Goodfellas because of his passing.
I've only seen Goodfellas 40 times. I don't know.
You don't need to see it again.
I don't need to see it again, but I do. Did you see what Lorraine Bracco said?
Henry, is that what she said?
She said no. She said the best thing. Everybody asked her what was the best thing about making Goodfellas, and she said Ray Liotta. He's awesome. He was an awesome person.
You know, I look at Ray Liotta and I don't know anything about him. I think, oh, that guy's a D-bag on set. That was, I don't know why.
That guy's a what?
A D-bag on set. I don't know him. Obviously, I didn't know any of his background, but I look at him and go, okay, he's a problem on set.
No.
He has that face, but then you're telling me Lorraine Bracco says, no, he was great.
She said he was the best. He was unbelievable.
And, you know, I'm talking about older Ray Liotta when it looks like he's done stuff to his face. R.I.P. I would look at him in newer things and go, oh, he's got the face of a guy who might have caused some problems on the set. And apparently, a wonderful human being. So that's great.
Yeah. And I saw a picture of he and his fiance just a month ago or so. And yeah, I think she was.
What?
I don't want to say.
What? What don't you want to say?
I just don't. I don't know. I didn't really see it.
You don't think she's attractive enough for Ray?
No,
Ray
I
Liotta?
Thought she was too. Well, she was very attractive and young. And
what do you mean?
I just don't know.
What are you saying?
Well, there was love. It was all about love.
You looked at a younger woman and an older man and said
it was all about love.
I'm looking at her right now.
It was like John's love for his girlfriend, his high school sweetheart
who dumped him for someone else. I'm looking at her right now. And what's the problem?
What? No, she's a very attractive young lady.
So you think the age difference was kind of questionable? Well, he's 67. How old is she?
Well, he's not. Yeah, he stopped at 67.
Well, yeah. So he'll never get a day older. And she will. I'm gonna look and see. I know from the images it looks like there's about 20 years, but I'm trying to figure
at least.
Out, I'm just trying to figure out how old.
It's a good 20. Yeah. I think
John, why are we pretending like you don't have friends who do this?
20 plus tax.
She's 47 herself.
47, 20 years.
20 years. John, why are we pretending like you don't have friends like this?
Oh, yeah, I have. Oh, yeah.
Do you make comments to them about it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, all the time.
What do you say?
I'm the Josh Donaldson of our group. Well, I will say it.
That's true. I'm not going to fight that at all. What do you say? You say she doesn't love you for you?
No, I say...
why'd you bring your daughter to our dinner?
You should wait till she gets out of high school.
Well,
you know,
that would be great.
Yeah. I mean, does she need a high chair? Okay.
Can you look, we've only got 15 minutes and then less than that, news of the weird plus the break. Can you make a list of the top five age differentials for your friends and list them on during news of the weird?
No, I cannot.
Yes, you can. Why not? What's so?
I can, but I won't.
How about don't give names, but give the age differentials.
There's quite a few.
Yeah,
we gotta take a break. We got news of the weird, and it's weird coming your way next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on The Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, News of the Weird coming your way. And no, I'm not going to name the ages of my buddies in there.
I think it'd be pretty fun.
Significant others and how the differential.
Why not? That'd
being
be weird.
The differential because it's alarming.
Going after Ray Liotta. I'm sure there's like a 25-year one in your group.
At least. At least 25. A 39-year-old armed and intoxicated man robbed a Dollar General, Dell, with a gun in his waistband. He asked for the manager, and the manager came out and he said, I'm taking this roll of toilet paper. Do you think that you need a handgun to steal a roll of toilet paper from a Dollar General?
Like the Boy Scouts say, always be prepared, John. You don't know. You don't know what the person behind the counter is packing. If you need, be ready.
I've seen Gucci store raids where nobody does anything, just says, okay, take
Gucci
it.
Gucci ain't fighting. I bet you get more fight from the guy behind the counter at the dollar store than the person at Gucci.
You think that Dollar General guy with a handgun in his waistband, the general manager, is going to try to get that roll of toilet paper back?
I think the Gucci people are like, hey, everything's insured. We don't care. I think the guy might get fired if look, too many losses.
We're taking a bunch of L's.
Yeah,
here.
The next one's on you, buddy. So you better fight. I'm just saying, you never know. Yeah. Be prepared is all I say.
Yeah, Florida man was caught with his pants down during a break-in. He broke in after hours, apparently, to 2:15 a.m. of a closed Mexican restaurant. When cops got there, he had his pants unzipped and his genitals exposed. Do you think, and he said this, do you think he was spiritually cleansing himself?
It's one way to put it. I mean, you're getting the poison out, I think is what they say. Was he getting the poison out?
Apparently he was in a Mexican restaurant.
I don't know
open,
why.
Genitals exposed. Have you ever cleansed yourself in a Mexican restaurant?
No. I can answer with the 100% certainty. No, I've never done. Done that in any public place.
No. And why would you? I mean, I can cleanse at home.
Yeah,
I'll be fine.
I get the poison out at home.
Yeah, no question. Do you think that Welsh Italian Pizza Company is a good name?
Feels like very wordy. Don't have anything clever for that. Welsh
it's
Italian
in Newport, South Wales. It's the Welsh Italian Pizza Company.
Look, I know.
But when you When you put WelshItalianPizza.com together, or .co.uk, do you know what it spells?
I don't.
Well, it's Ship Alien Pizza, only it's not ship.
Do you think they did that on purpose?
No, they didn't. They were appalled when they saw it all spelled out together.
I really don't understand, because I know when you're in a foreign, when a country that's not known for their pizza, they will try to look how authentic we are. This is Italian pizza from the coast of whatever. I don't know. Why is Welsh involved? Are the Welsh known for their pizza? Or
well, they want, this is Italian pizza. It's the Welsh Italian Pizza Company. But it really was poorly thought out.
Understood. I just know, like, we're going to bring you the authentic pizza from the shores of Italy here to New Zealand, or wherever they were. Why is Welsh involved?
Call it Palermo's or
something.
Yeah. Did you, the other really bad one was when, you remember Susan Boyle?
Yes.
She was a singer?
A looker.
The Susan Album Party. Susan Album Party. Put it all together. It's the Sue's Bum Party.
Yeah, I see that.
Not something you want.
It's not great.
Nope. The Sue's Anal Bum Party. Nope, don't want it.
I mean, it's great in some ways. It's not great for the person who put that together.
Have you ever tattooed your eyeballs blue?
No. Who did it this time?
Apparently a woman did. She has a lot of tats, way too many tats. She decided that she would tattoo her eyes blue. Well, her tears are blue, and she's temporarily blind.
So you mean in permanently injecting ink into your eyeballs had an effect?
Yes. Apparently it has some kind of effect on your eyesight.
It's odd. Strange. Weird, even.
Yeah. A man spent $15,000 on a collie costume to fulfill a lifelong dream of becoming a dog. Do you think that $15,000...
I thought it was your racist listener. A collie costume.
No, not collie the listener.
No.
It's an actual dog costume.
Dog costume?
He spent $15,000 on a collie costume. Do you think that you would spend $15,000 to become a dog?
I'm trying to think of what I would spend $15,000 on. I wouldn't spend $15,000 on saving a dog.
Let alone becoming a dog.
No, forget about wearing a costume of a dog. No chance.
No, $15,000 seems like it's a bit much. It's a bit much. You know what else is a bit much? This show. It's over.
Oof. Thankfully. I get home, avoid the convention traffic, and settle into some Kenobi.
Go to the convention, Del.
I'm not doing that.
The president wants you there.
Former president.
The former president. We always refer to our presidents as president.
If you say
former,
so.
Yes.
I'm not going to be there. I hope anyone who does go there enjoys themselves. I'm sure it'll be a harmonious thing outside George R. Brown.
Nobody brings people together like our former President Trump. I mean, he's unbelievable. All he does is unify.
Are we even sure you're in Chicago? Maybe you're
plausible. Uh-oh, this is another one of those.
Maybe you're at the convention, but you're saying you're in Chicago. Are we sure that you're in Chicago? All that talk about, Portillo's beef. You're just eating something from Papa's.
And I'm going to be out there.
Yeah, creating havoc.
How come all big events I'm never around?
You're never to be found. That's weird.
It is weird.
We would call you a bad actor.
That's
what you are.
News of the weird. All right, we're done. Del, thanks. Del's going to be back next Friday because I'll be off. So you will be able to hear him right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Vanessa and Galant next right here. Y'all have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you again on Tuesday.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.